Hello, my name is Mahendra Gupte. Let's talk about insurance law and contracts today. Why do you need insurance? Every business faces certain uncertainties in its lifetime. And insurance is that cover which helps businesses face risks like property damage, liabilities, and employee issues. Let's look at a definition of insurance. Businesses face risks like property damage, liabilities, and employee issues, which can cause financial setbacks or closure. Insurance mitigates such losses. The definitions: insurance company is entities dissolvable under the Companies Act 1956 or Indian Partnership Act 1932. Who is an insurer? Individuals or entities conducting insurance business. Like we understood that all of us have certain uncertainties in our daily lives. Now, the same is the case for businesses. Businesses too face risks like property damages, liabilities, and employee issues. These risks can be mitigated by having an insurance coverage for these losses. We are understanding that an insurance company is an entity which is dissolvable under the Companies Act or the Indian Partnership Act. An insurer is an individual or entity conducting insurance business. What does an insurance contract actually mean? An insurance contract is an agreement where the insurer, that is the insurance company, promises to indemnify the insured, that is the policyholder, against losses from specific events in exchange for a premium. The insurer advertises the policy as an invitation to offer. The insured makes an offer by applying, and once the insurer accepts, it forms a binding insurance contract. The meaning of an insurance contract: an insurance contract is an agreement where the insurer, that is the insurance company, promises to cover the losses or compensate for the losses incurred by the insured, that is the policyholder, against losses which are specified in that contract. Now, against the uncertainties or the risks that are mentioned in the contract, there is a proportionate premium that the policyholder pays. The insurer advertises the policy as an invitation to offer, which means that they advertise that they have certain offers under certain different names, schemes to cover different risks. The insured, that is the policyholder, makes an application or calls up the insurance company and says that he is interested in this offer. Now, when he says that he is interested in that offer, he needs to accept all the terms and conditions that the insurer has put up, and also accept and disclose whatever are the details from his side. Once those details are acceptable and the premium is known, after these details are seen by the insuring company, then they make that offer to the insured person once again. That means the policyholder, that this is the insurance policy, this is the coverage, and this will be the premium that you would have to pay. Once the person accepts that offer in details, in absolute coverage, in the risks and terms and conditions, that becomes a binding insurance contract for both of them. Purpose of insurance. The following are the two main purposes of insurance contracts: protection against uncertain events. Insurance contracts provide financial protection against unforeseen losses. Better management of finances. Insurance guides better financial decisions by offering a safety net. What should an insurance contract actually cover? It covers two main purposes, and they are protection against uncertain events, which is the basis for which an insurance contract is made. It can provide financial protection against unforeseen losses. Of course, losses which are covered under the policy. Better management of finances. Insurance guides financial decisions by offering a safety net. What this means is that there are certain risks, even financial risks, which are covered by insurance. Now, with this kind of coverage from insurance, the person who is running the business is able to have better risk management possibilities with him because he now has a safety net from the insurance. What are the types of insurance? There are broadly two types of insurance based on what they cover. They are life insurance and general insurance. Life insurance under Section 2, subclause 11, covers human life, ensuring financial support for the family after the insured's demise, includes endowment, child and pension plans. General insurance under Section 2, subclause 6B, covers non-life risks like health, property and travel, offering protection against losses. Let's look at it again and understand it better. Life insurance covers human life, ensuring financial support for the family after the insured's demise. Includes endowment, child and pension plans. What this means is that if a person has insured himself for life and he happens to pass away or die because of any circumstances, those conditions or those circumstances should be covered by the policy, which means the death by accident or death, a natural death because of some kind of an organ failure or any other related issues. If those issues are covered or those circumstances are covered in the policy, then the insuring company stands to give that amount, which is the total amount that is decided right in the beginning, to the family after the person's demise. General insurance covers non-life risks like health, property, and travel, offering protection against losses. Mind you, a life insurance policy may cover accidents and hospitalization, etc. But there are also separate policies available for health. Like you have a health policy which covers an annual health checkup, including and also annual any other health related issues. Now this has got nothing to do with the life insurance. It doesn't cover your life. There could also be coverage under general insurance to cover property, losses to property, damage to property, and travel, of course. Whenever you go in for overseas travel, you must cover yourself with travel insurance, because in the foreign country, you never know what could be the expenses involved for any illness or any health challenges. Business insurance. Business insurance protects a business's assets, property, and operations from financial risks. Now, once we saw that there are only two types of insurances, business insurance will definitely come under general insurance. What does general business insurance do? Business insurance protects a business's assets, property, and operations from financial risks. Today, there is also coverage available under business insurance for loss of business or loss of sales, however you put it, and what are the conditions that you have agreed with the insuring company. Types of business insurance policies. Liability insurance policies covers claims from damages, injuries, or accidents. There are many types of liability insurance. General liability insurance protects against third-party claims for damages or injuries. Let's understand what this means. Liability insurance policies covers claims from damages, injuries, or accidents, which means that let's say you have a business and you have a business premises where you run that business, and there is some injury to a person in when he's on official duty, then insurance can cover the damages for his treatment, the financial expenses for his treatment, or if there is any other liability that can come up. There are many types of liability insurance. General liability insurance protects against third-party claims for damages or injuries. Let's say somebody, a visitor, is visiting you at your business premises and there is an accident that he meets with, either on his own or because he slips or there is something that goes wrong because of the premises. In either of the cases, the third-party claim will be covered by general liability insurance, provided the conditions are present in that insurance contract. Public liability insurance covers third-party damages on company premises, which means that this will cover all third-party claims or any damages that they cause to the property on the company premises. Professional liability insurance protects professionals from negligence claims, which means that if somebody is working as a professional, he can be protected for professionalism and for any other claims that other people may put on him due to his negligence. Of course, there's a limit to this and definitely what is covered under negligence. Management liability covers directors, officers against misconduct claims, which means that if the directors or the officers have a claim against them for some misconduct with their juniors or with their seniors, then that can be covered through the management liability. Contractual liability protects against liabilities from contracts. Let's say you have a contract and that goes bad in the sense that there is a compliance issue from your side. Then you can be protected for whatever claims that are put up by the opposite party against a contractual liability. Let's look at a little detail of the different types of insurances. Property insurance. Building insurance covers commercial properties from damage or theft. So, and if you have covered your building, you have a building insurance for your premises, then now this premises has to be the commercial property. That means this is the place where you run business. Then it can be covered for any damages because of whatever reasons, or third party also, or any theft of property from inside that commercial property. Consequential loss, fire insurance, covers fire related losses. Straightforward. Signboard insurance protects against damage to signboards and third party claims. Plate glass insurance covers damage to large glass panes like windows and doors. Signboard insurance, today a company's business is identified by the signboard, by the logo, and by the brand that it has so long developed and nurtured, and there is a certain brand value that it has developed. Now this needs protection because a signboard, if damaged, can give a wrong impression to customers. In this case, there is a signboard insurance that is available where the signboard, damages to the signboard are covered, and third party claims are also covered under that. Plate glass insurance covers damages to large glass panes like windows and doors. Today we see most of the offices in the big cities do not have external walls. They have glass walls where those windows and doors are, sometimes they are openable, sometimes they are not. All irrespective of whether the window is openable or not, do have an insurance that covers that glass because it is more or less covering the property of your premises. At the same time, a specific coverage for the windows, as the cost of those glass windows is extremely high. Burglary insurance covers theft and property damage. Burglary insurance can be for your house, can be for a business also. Since we are talking of business and commercial properties, we are looking at burglaries covers theft and property damage at the commercial premises. Money insurance protects business funds from theft or damage. Let's say a bank has a cashier. Now there is an input of material, that input of cash that is coming in. At the same time, there is withdrawals that are taking place. But in all probability, the receiving is much higher. Now this amount, if left in the bank overnight, needs to be protected. And that is where money insurance comes in. Fidelity guarantee insurance covers losses from employee fraud. Let's say, take the same case of a bank employee, and if he wants to cheat the bank and makes some changes in the account books and takes away certain cash amount, then the bank is protected by insurance under the fidelity guarantee insurance for any fraud that the employee may do. Electronic equipment insurance covers damage to electronic equipment and software. The reason is this coverage is only restricted to commercial because that electronic equipment is necessary for the business to run on a daily basis. Now, if this electronic equipment is damaged or is not working for whatever reasons, then you have protection under the electronic equipment insurance, which covers the losses for loss of business and for getting the equipment rectified. Commercial vehicle insurance covers damages to company vehicles and drivers. Commercial vehicle insurance also covers third party claims, if any, due to an accident by the driver when driving the commercial vehicle. Workers' compensation insurance compensates workers for job-related injuries or death. This is very clear. A worker working at a machine is injured. He needs to be covered, and that is covered by the workers' compensation insurance, because he may have a small injury, but it may keep him away from work for the next 2-3 days. Now, these 2-3 days of salary needs to be paid to him. Now, that can be claimed through the workers' compensation insurance. Group or employee health insurance covers all employees under one plan, offering cost and tax benefits. So, what normally companies do is, depending on the size of the company and the number of employees, you have a group or employee health insurance, which means that every employee of the company is insured the time that he enters the premises till the time he leaves the premises, and also covers employees who travel outdoors on official duty. Life insurance policies recommended for employees, boosting satisfaction and company reputation. A lot many companies today offer life insurance policies along with Mediclaim and other medical coverage policies, just as an incentive or as a perk to the employees and to make working for the company a little more attractive. What is insurance law? Insurance laws govern contracts where the insurer compensates the insured for losses due to contingent events. Regulated by the IRDA, it follows the principle of ubermi fide, utmost good faith. The insurer provides coverage and the insured receives it. Let's understand. Insurance laws govern contracts, that means insurance contracts, where the insurer compensates, that is, insurer is the insuring company, compensates the insured, that is the policyholder, for losses due to contingent events, that means events which are listed as per the contract. Regulated, and this is regulated by the IRDA. It follows the principle of ubermi fide, utmost good faith, which implies that both the insurer and the insurer and the insured, that is the policyholder, have been transparent when or before signing the contract, and on the basis of that transparency, the contract has been signed. Now, what does this imply? This implies that the insurer makes it very clear as to what are the terms and conditions that they would cover the damages for, and the insured also has to be transparent with respect to, let's say, if it is a medical insurance, he needs to specify what are the present ailments that he suffers from or has just suffered from in the past or recent past, depending on the requirement of the insuring company. Now, this is understood to be good faith. That means both the insurer and the insured person, that is the policyholder, are very transparent about the present situation, and the insurance takes place from that date ahead forward. Insurance Regulatory and Development Authority of India, IRDAI. IRDAI, Insurance Regulatory Body, was formed in 1999 under the IRDA Act. Its primary role is to protect policyholders' interests and promote the insurance sector in India. It sets regulations, investigates malpractices, and has the authority to pass orders, direct bodies, and make awards. IRDAI collaborates with agencies like the Reserve Bank of India and the Securities and Exchange Board of India. What is IRDAI? IRDAI stands for Insurance Regulatory and Development Authority of India. This body was formed in 1999 under the IRDA Act. Its primary role is to protect policyholders' interests. It is in fact a watchdog that keeps a control over the insurance companies and ensures that they don't just take premiums and then deny claims to the policyholders. So it sets regulations, it investigates malpractices, and has the authority to pass orders, direct the bodies, that is the insurance companies or any other agencies, and make awards. That means they can also pass decisions if a claim is put up for to the insurance company and the insurance company denies it. You can always refer it up to IRDAI for their intervention, and then their decision would be final for both the insurer and the policyholder. IRDAI collaborates with agencies like the Reserve Bank of India and the Securities and Exchange Board of India. The Reserve Bank of India, because there are certain payouts to be made, and sometimes if the claims are when you are traveling overseas, then RBI needs to take care of that. The Securities and Exchange Board of India, the reason being, a claim put up by any of these insurance companies or by a competitor on a company could affect that company's standing in terms of the National Stock Exchange, and SEBI would be required to intervene to understand the sequences and the damages. Insurance laws in India. After nationalization, various acts were introduced to regulate the insurance sector. The Insurance Act of 1938. It establishes the legal framework for insurance business in India, consolidating and amending previous laws. So insurance laws in India have been progressive, and they have been changing and regulating themselves, being regulated to adhere to or in line with market requirements. After nationalization, various acts were introduced to regulate the insurance sector. The Insurance Act of 1938, it established the legal framework for insurance businesses in India. That means if you want to tomorrow start an insurance business, you have to comply to the requirements that have already been set up under the Insurance Act of 1938. There is a legal framework available which needs to be followed. Consolidating and amending previous laws. And this act has superseded old rules and regulations and previous laws. IRDAI 1999 establishes the body to protect policyholders and regulate the insurance industry. The Life Insurance Corporation of 1956 nationalizes life insurance and regulates premium rates and valuations. The General Insurance Business Nationalization Act of 1972 supports Indian insurers by enabling share transfers, ensuring sector development. IRDA Act of 1999 establishes the body to protect policyholders and regulate the insurance industry. So while it protects the policyholders, it also monitors the behavior and the operations of the insurance industry as a whole. The Life Insurance Corporation of 1956 nationalizes life insurance and regulates premium rates and valuations. Of course, today LIC of India has further gone ahead and giving you different policies even to cover health and other risks. The General Insurance Business Nationalization Act of 1972 supports Indian insurers by enabling share transfers, ensuring sector development, which means for every insurance company, finally, the premium that it collects, it invests in certain funds or certain policies or certain issues in the company shares or some other investment articles in the market. Now they need to be protected, because if there is a payout that is required from the insurance company, then that payout has to be from those earnings as well as the premiums that have been collected from people. Now, this is where the General Insurance Business supports the Indian insurers by enabling share transfers and ensuring sector development. Marine Insurance Act of 1963. It covers loss or damage to ships, cargo and transport. So we understood that there are certain risks that a marine transportation undergoes, or rather called the perils of the sea. That means the risks at when the ship is at sea. Now the Marine Insurance Act helps to cover losses or damage to ships. That means the actual ship that is carrying the cargo and the transport. That means the local transport that the cargo is moving through. So you have one insurance policy and it can cover the entire cargo from end to end. The Motor Vehicles Act 1988 requires insurance for motor vehicles against third party risks. So this is the bare minimum that you need. But in this third, if it is a third party risks only that you have covered, which is an absolute requirement under the Motor Vehicles Act, remember, the damage to yourself and your car is not covered under third party risks. It is always advisable when you have a motor car to have a comprehensive insurance which covers you more and then covers also the third party risks. Licensing and regulation of insurance companies. Insurance companies must be licensed by IRDAI to operate and sell policies, which means that if you tomorrow want to start a business for insurance, you have to comply first to the IRDAI terms, conditions, their regulations, their processes, and also understand that you have to be issued a license by IRDAI to start selling policies. Criteria for licensing. Insurance companies need 100 crores capital or 200 crores for reinsurance. Regulatory compliance for insurance providers. Insurance providers must follow IRDAI rules for fairness and policyholder protection. Let's understand what are the criteria for licensing. You want an insurance company insurance license, you need to have 100 crores capital in liquid cash or 200 crores for reinsurance. That means that if you are going to insure your risks as an insuring company, you need to have 200 crores of capital. Regulatory compliance for insurance providers. All insurance companies or insurance providers must follow the IRDAI rules for fairness and policy protection. What we understood was IRDAI does what? Does it protects the policyholder and regulates the insurance industry sector. Types of insurance in India. Insurance is categorized into life and general insurance based on the risks insured. Life insurance, a contract where beneficiaries receive a sum of the policyholder's death or disability, ensuring family financial security. So which means that a life insurance policy in general will cover not only the person's life, but if there is a permanent disability, because of which there is a loss of income or there is a loss of ability to earn income, then the family is financially secured through this insurance that the person had as life insurance for himself. General insurance, an agreement between the policyholder and insurer where the insurance company protects the policyholder's assets from risks like fire, theft or burglary. So, general insurance does not cover life, but it covers property or the person or the policyholder's assets from risks like fire, theft or burglary. Insurance contracts and policies. Insurance contracts in India are governed by the Indian Contract Act of 1872. As a contract of indemnity, it is guided by this act with quotes in evolving principles to balance the interests of both the insurer and the insured. Insurance contracts and policies. Insurance contracts in India are governed by the Indian Contract Act of 1872. As a contract of indemnity, that means that if there is a risk that for which the insurance has been taken, if that happens, that event happens, then the insuring company needs to pay the compensation. It is guided by this act, with quotes evolving principles to balance the interests of both the insurer and the insured. So the act guides and uses the quote to come up with principles to balance the interests of both the insured party as well as the insuring company. Principles and characteristics of an insurance contract. Essentials of a valid contract. An insurance contract follows the essentials of a valid contract. Section 10 of the Indian Contract Act, 1872. Offer and acceptance, that means there has to be an offer made and an acceptance from the opposite party. Competency of parties, both the parties should be competent enough, that means of adult age, of sound mind and all other conditions of being competent. Free consent, neither of the parties should be forced to get into the contract or sign that contract. Lawful consideration, there is a compensation or there is a consideration in terms of a financial value that is being accepted in the case of certain events happening or certain events not happening. And a lawful object, that means a specified purpose which says that in the event of so and so happening, the insuring company stands to offer or compensate the insured party with whatever is the agreed value or amount. Indemnity contract. Section 124 has defined indemnity contract as an agreement between two parties where one party promises to save the other from some loss that would occur to him due to the conduct of the promisor himself or any other person. Let's understand what an indemnity contract means in very simple language. Section 124 says, has defined indemnity contract as an agreement between two parties where one party promises to save the other from some loss that would occur to him due to the conduct of the promisor himself or any other person. Let's say, for example, you have a friend of yours and you tell him that you get into an agreement that you give me the, you take this risk or you do some act for you, he does some act for you, and in case if there is any problem, that you would cover him for any losses that he would incur. Now this would be an indemnity contract between you and your friend. Now the condition is that if that event, that means if that loss occurs to him, then you stand to pay him. However, if there is no loss that he incurs because of the act that you told him or he has taken on his own consent, you have agreed to cover him for or indemnify him against any losses, but if that loss doesn't happen, then you don't have to pay anything. Indemnity contract. An indemnity contract promises compensation for loss caused by human actions, but not for events beyond human control, like acts of God. Life insurance falls outside the scope of indemnity. Indemnity contract. Again, an indemnity contract promises compensation for loss caused by human actions, but not for events beyond human control, like acts of God or force majeure. However, life insurance is not covered under indemnity. Eleutery contract. An eleutery contract depends on uncertain events like natural disasters or death. The insurer pays only if the uncertain event occurs, making it a common feature in insurance policies. So we all know that you have a life insurance policy for 20 years from the age of 20, which means that if there is a problem or if there is a death before the age of 40, the insurance company stands to compensate your family members in case of your death. But however, at the age of 40, you are still alive. That means that you will receive certain amounts at the end of that period as a matured amount that you have paid in exchange for the premiums that you have paid for that policy. That is called an endowment policy. Ubermae fidei. Insurance contracts are based on utmost good faith. Ubermae fidei is utmost good faith, requiring both parties to disclose all material facts honestly. Failure to do so may void the agreement. A classic example that we can think of is you go in for medical insurance. Now, when you go in for medical insurance, you hide the fact that you are already suffering from a certain heart condition or a certain ailment, that you have undergone a surgery or some other medical procedure much before, and now you are insuring yourself as you are 100% fit. Now, what happens in a case where there is a claim that you put up because of that same organ or that same area failing or requiring medical attention? When the reports come out that this was an old case, an old ailment, and now it has reoccurred, the insurance company can take a stand that they will not cover any of the expenses of which are normally covered by them for this ailment because this was not disclosed to them earlier. So this is where it is called utmost good faith. Contract of adhesion. Insurance policies are standardized. Insurers must explain terms clearly and the insured should choose a suitable policy. Let's understand what is the responsibilities on the insurance companies. Insurance policies are standardized. Insurers must explain terms clearly to the insured person, and only when he has understood that those terms and conditions should he go ahead and accept that contract. And the insured should choose a suitable policy. That means that they should select a policy which is best suited for them and covers maximum risks. Principle of subrogation. Subrogation means substitution, allowing the insurer to claim reimbursement from a third party after compensating the insured for losses. Insurable interest. The insured must make a financial stake in the property or event being insured. Let's understand what is principle of subrogation. Subrogation means substitution, allowing the insurer to claim reimbursement from a third party after compensating the insured for losses. Let's take an example here. Let's say you have some cargo moving on a ship and that cargo is damaged. Now you claim damages to the insurance company and the insurance company compensates you. Now definitely the insurance company is not going to pay that amount or that financial assistance to you out of its own pocket. What is it going to do? It is going to claim those damages from the shipping line's insurance company. That means the insurance company that insured the ship itself will have to pay your insurance company the damages or whatever claim they put up with them. This is a principle of subrogation. Insurable interest. The insured must have a financial stake in the property or event being insured, which means, let's say, a lot many times you find that there are certain banks which finance certain housing projects. Now, if you go to the same bank and they have an insurance policy, they will give you an insurance for that building or your apartment in that building very easily. The reason is that there is an insurable interest of that bank or of that entity in the property that you are trying to insure.